You're listening to Crosstalk, Season 1, Episode 1.
At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, Jesus.
Welcome to Crosstalk. I'm Jason Sism. I'm going to be your host. I'm so excited for this. This is the very first episode in a brand new podcast series called Crosstalk. And this series is designed to help you as a believer go deeper in your walk with Jesus. JBSism.com has three main goals. It is to equip, transform, and reach. How do we do that? Well, my goal is to equip churches to transform lives, to change their world, or to reach their world. And I do that by helping leaders within the church, helping lay leaders, helping everyday Christians take a new look at their life, take a look at what God has gifted them with, and take them to the next level. Take them to a level in which they can be the most effective in their areas of influence. And this podcast exists to help do just that. And I figured, what better way to kick off a great podcast like Crosstalk with diving right into the Word of God? And we're going to be looking at the book of Esther over the next several weeks, and we're going to be diving into some of the choices that the different people have or had to make. The book of Esther is one of my favorite books in the Bible, and that is a phrase you'll probably hear me say a lot, is it's my favorite book in the Bible. But I've recently begun studying through the book of Esther and in my own devotional, and I am just so in love with the story because it's about ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And so let's dive right in to the book of Esther. I'm going to be reading out of Esther chapter 1 today, and I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. So if you want to follow along in your Bible, please do. I am going to be reading the whole chapter. This is what happened during the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. And in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all of his nobles and officials, the military leaders of Persia and Media. The princes and the nobles of the provinces were also present. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people, from the least to the greatest, who were in the citadel of Susa. And the garden had hangings of white and blue linen, fastened with cords of white linen and purple material, to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on the mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each different from the other. And the royal wine was abundant, in keeping with the king's liberality. But the king, by his command, each guest was allowed to drink his own way, for the king instructed all wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women of the royal palace of King Xerxes. On the seventh day, when King Xerxes was high in spirit from wine, he commanded the 7 eunuchs who served him, Mehaman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abigatha, Zether, and Carcass, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. Since it was customary for the king to consult experts in matters of law and justice, he spoke with wise men who understood the times and were closest to the king. Karshnia, Shether, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marzana, and Memucan. The seven nobles of Persia and Media who had special access to the king and were the highest in the kingdom. According to the law, what must be done to Queen Vashti, he asked. She has not obeyed the command of King Xerxes and the eunuchs. Then Memucan replied in the presence of the king and the nobles, Queen Vashti has done wrong, not only against the king, but against all the nobles and the people of the provinces of King Xerxes. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, so they will despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. This very day, the Persian and Median women of nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond all to the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed, that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of the king. Also, let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. For when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout the vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands from the least to the great. The king and his nobles were pleased with the advice, so the king did as Memucan proposed. He sent dispatches to all parts of the kingdom, to each province in his own script, and to the people in its own language, proclaiming in each people's tongue that every man should be ruler of his own household. So here is a king who rules a vast kingdom, a big kingdom. He's rich, he's powerful. I mean, he has a party that lasts, 180 days. That is a big party. That is a party to beat all parties. And so here he is displaying his wealth before some of the greatest people in his kingdom. They do what he wants. They say what he wants. He gives a command and people obey. He says, drink wine, so people drink wine. He says, go there, and they go there. He says, do this, and they do that. Well, the king has every right to give orders to which pleases his own eye. And if the people were smart, they would actually listen and obey. So here we have a queen who's also throwing her own party, but when she is summoned to come before the king, she refuses. Now, maybe she was put off by the fact that she knew her husband was drunk, or maybe she was put off by the fact that here she was serving the women of the palace, serving the women of nobility, and here she had to leave her party to go stand before the other nobles and the king and dance before them. So I can understand maybe she was put off, she was frustrated, but really when it comes down to it, she disobeyed the king. He gave an order, and she didn't listen. And what does that tell you about Queen Vashti? And what does that tell you about the king who didn't put up with it? He summoned the people whom he trusted the most, and they told him, this is what ought to be done. You ought to put her away. You ought to get rid of her. Because she's no good, because she doesn't listen to your voice. She doesn't heed your voice. She doesn't listen to your commands. And we know what happened to Vashti. Things actually didn't turn out too well for her. She was banished from the kingdom, never to set foot. Now, the king could have taken a sword to her head, but he didn't. And I think this tells you what kind of king he is, that he is compassionate as well. So he just banished her. She's allowed to live, but he just banishes her. And when I look at this, I think of one thing. The queen had an obligation. She had an obligation to obey. She had an obligation to honor the king's wishes. She had an obligation to come before him in all of her beauty and show her love for the king. That's all the king wanted. The king wanted his queen by his side. But she refused. She decided not to come before him. She decided to live life the way she wanted to live life. I believe there are three lessons that we can learn out of chapter 1 here in the book of Esther. One, when the king calls, are we listening? Two, does God desire obedience from us? And three, the spiritual head of our home. Let's look at this first one. When the king calls, are we listening? I remember when I used to work at Rainbow Foods in Chaska, Minnesota. And I worked in the deli department. You have bosses and supervisors and managers, and they all have the need to tell you what you're supposed to do or what you're not supposed to do. And if you didn't listen to their advice or you didn't listen to the orders that they gave, consequences were to be had. When your manager calls you, no matter what you're doing, you're actually required to drop everything you're doing and go meet with your manager. Well, I remember one time I was given the job of cleaning underneath our counter and getting the stuff off of the tile and the grout and making sure the place was spotless, because we actually had the health department coming in to do their quarterly inspection, and we want to make sure everything was good. So I was assigned the task of making sure that the counter was cleaned and scrubbed and scraped up and spotless. Well, while I was cleaning, I was the only person in the deli at the time, and a customer comes to the counter. Well, as a customer service person, my job is to stop what I'm doing, go wash my hands, put gloves on, and serve the customer. Well, as I'm serving the customer, the store manager comes by and says, "Jason, what are you doing? I told you you are to be cleaning the floors, not helping customers." Well, my response back to him was, "I'm sorry, but the customer came to the counter. And right now I can't talk about this because I'm serving the customer." Now, I had a bit of a mouth on me, and sometimes it actually got me into trouble. Well, the funny thing is, he would not let up. He wouldn't relent. Finally, my manager, my immediate manager, comes in and says, "Jason, you need to go back and do what you're doing, and I'm going to take care of the customer." Well, what they didn't realize was I was the only person in the deli. Now, whether they liked that idea or not is no consequence to me, because I'm supposed to be doing a job and I wasn't. So when the king calls, are we listening? And I think sometimes in our daily walk of life, when God actually gives us a command, and we actually have commands all through the scriptures of how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to do, and when the king calls, are we listening? You know, so many times we like to think we're our own boss. We like to think that nobody else can do what I do, or nobody else can live my life. And how dare God tell me how I'm supposed to act? How dare God expect me to listen to what he has to say? Well, the sad thing about living with that kind of a mindset is you will never go any further in your walk with God. And in fact, you'll actually begin to backslide. And one thing that I've learned in my years of ministry is I think the most miserable people on the planet are Christians who've backslidden. They've stopped listening to God. They stopped listening to their king. They stopped listening to his word. When Jesus approached the disciples in Matthew, he says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And what did they do? They dropped everything they were doing, and they followed Jesus. How many times do we have that same call be given to us, but yet we have failed to listen? I think about the rich young ruler who came up to Jesus, and he says, "What should I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And Jesus said to him, "Go sell all of your possessions and come follow me." And the young rich ruler stood there and walked away sorrowful in his heart because he knew he possessed great wealth. When I look at that story, I see for the first time since Jesus called the disciples where he was actually inviting a young man to join his entourage, inviting him to follow, to be one of the special people who got to sit directly underneath his teaching, to be ministered to by Jesus. But us, like that rich young ruler, because we have such pride built up in our heart, I think sometimes we decide that, well, I know what's best for my life, so I don't need to listen to what church leaders are saying. I don't need to listen to what my mentor is saying. I don't need to listen to what the Lord is saying because I know what's best for my life. And I think Queen Vashti had a very similar outlook on life. And here's the king who's said, "Come, come before my presence. Come, dance before me." And Vashti said no, because what she was doing was more important than the king's call. But my question is, what can be more important than coming before the throne room of God and dancing before his presence with arms lifted high? He says, "Come before me, worship." And do we? Do we worship? Do we take the time to allow our lives to go deep with God? Secondly, does God desire obedience from us? You know, I'm often thinking of the story of King David. And here he is. He's supposed to go out into battle, a time when kings went out into battle. And here he is standing on the roof of his own house. And he looks over the ledge of his home and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath and getting cleaned. And he says to his servants, "Who is that?" And they said, "It is your friend Uriah's wife." And David said, "Go get her for me." And out of David's own lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh, he had relations with Bathsheba and she became pregnant. And David, through his arrogance, ended up having Uriah killed. Well, when Nathan, his friend and counsel and prophet, comes before him and says, "And David, because of your pride and what you've done, there are going to be consequences for sinning against God." And the consequence was his unborn son would die. And the kingdom would eventually go into turmoil with his descendants. You see, God desires obedience from us. When God calls, are we going to listen? And when we listen, are we going to actually put the right foot forward and begin walking out what God has called us to do? You see, when we don't listen to Scripture, when we don't listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we live in disobedience, and we live selfish lives, consequences are to be had. The Bible says, "Be sure that your sins will find you out." Well, that case was so true with David, because when he sinned against God, this happened. Well, David immediately went into his chambers, and he says, "God created me a clean heart and restored to me a righteous spirit." Queen Vashti was unrepentant. She did not repent before the king, and because of her insolence, because of her disobedience, and wanting to do life her own way, the crown was taken away from her. And it's sad when we begin to see fellow believers who we know aren't living righteous lives. They have one foot in the world and one foot with God. And they live miserable lives. They wonder why their lives are falling apart. They wonder why they're frustrated. They wonder why bad things happen to them. They wonder why nothing good ever happens. And they live lonely lives. And it's because they simply don't put God as a priority in their life. You know, I've often thought of it this way. You got to put God as the first in your household. You got to put God as first in your finances. You got to put God first in your friendships and relationships. You got to put God first in your waking and put Him first as you lie your head down. You see, putting God first isn't like putting Him on a priority list. This is my priorities for the day. No, it's putting Him in the very center of everything. Think of a wheel hub. The hub is what holds the wheel together. And that's how I view how our relationship with God should be. God needs to be the hub that holds our whole life together. And all of the spokes that come out of the hub are the different avenues of our life. So our finances, our marriage, our relationships, our this and our that, you name it. All of these little spokes coming out, that's what holds our life. But what ultimately holds our life on the wheel itself is the hub, and that's God. And so when we begin to obey God and we're faithful with what He's given us, we see His blessings poured out in our lives. You see, Queen Vashti had it all before her. She had the wealth. She had the blessing. She had this. She had that. She had it all going for her. But she decided through a moment of selfishness to throw it all away. See, the very definition of sin is I. It's self-centered, self-focused. But we need to have hearts like David that says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a righteous spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. You see, that needs to be our heart's cry. See, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 to trust in the Lord with your whole heart. Don't lean on your own understandings, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path, and He will make it right. You see, when I look at Queen Vashti, who had everything going for her, who had the honor of sitting before the king, but she threw it all away. See, our goal as believers should be to have the mindset of, the king's calling me, and I'm going to listen. I'm going to bow my head and worship the king. I'm going to come before him and dance. You see, the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ. If Christ is our King and our Lord and our Master, should we not want to serve Him with everything we have? Serve Him with our finances. Serve Him with our marriages. Serve Him with our children. Serve Him in our areas of influence at work. Serve Him when we rise. Serve Him when we go to sleep. See, our whole life should be about the service of the King of Kings. But when we fail, that's okay. We can get right back up and worship Him. He's not going to abandon us like Queen Vashti was banished by King Xerxes. God's not going to do that to us. But we can come before God like David did and say, God, create in me a right spirit. create in me a heart that is going to serve you, honor you, and worship you. See, that needs to be our goal. You see, when God is the spiritual head of our home, and that's really the third thing I wanted to talk about, is God being the spiritual head of our home. And I don't care if you're married, I don't care if you have children, or if you're single. If God is not taking that central place, and you're not giving every ounce of your being to Him, life is going to be difficult. Life is going to be hard. You see, just as the husband is the head of his household, it doesn't mean he lords over his wife. It doesn't mean he lords over his children. It just simply means he provides the spiritual protection of his home. He provides the spiritual leadership. He helps guide and direct and focus the family to honor God. See, that's what it all boils down to, is honoring God. And that's why it's so important when the king calls to obey. You see, we have a choice. We can either live life the way we want to live life, or we can live life to how God wants us to live life, in service of Him. And when we do that, His blessings and the floodgates of heaven will open up, and we won't even be able to receive room for the blessing, because God's going to pour it out into our lives, because we give a tithe of everything that we have back to Him. Because our lives are not our own. Our lives are God's. And that is what we need to remember in choosing that you will obey. Father, I pray for each person, each listener, that as they choose to honor the King of Kings, that they would learn to put you first. That they would take you at your word. That you're going to take care of them. You're going to be their protector. But Father, it boils down to us living our lives in service of you. That when we put our hands out and say, "Here I am, God, use me," that you'll take us at our word. And all we have to do is listen to what the voice of the Holy Spirit says. But Father, I ask that you teach us how to listen, so that when you do call, we can obey. I want to thank you for tuning in to Crosstalk. It was my joy and privilege to share and open up the Word of God to you. And I pray it was a blessing. And I pray that if it was a blessing, that you would take it and email it to a friend. I'm sure that it will brighten their day and encourage their spirit. Well, my name is Jason Sism. Thank you for tuning in. As always, if you need more information, visit my webpage at www.jbsism.com for more information. Until next time, you've been listening to Crosstalk with Jason Sism. Comes flow.